This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. And I'm so glad you're able to join me today as we finish our series on Church, Arise. And Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And so again, Psalm 68:1, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. As the church, the time has come for us to arise. Firstly, arise and turn. We've looked at that. It's important on a daily basis that we repent of any sin in our hearts. Hosea 10:12, sow to yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Maybe the reason why we haven't seen the rain of God's righteousness in our lives, the blessing of God on our ministries, the peace of God in our homes, is because we haven't repented of those areas, of those issues, of those things that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God with whom you're sealed to the day of redemption. And so sometimes, like the Bible says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And, you know, sometimes our heart can be like that ground that's being described there, that fallow ground that hasn't been plowed for years and has gone hard as concrete. And you have to drive the plow through that ground to soften it up so that the seed can go into the ground. Otherwise, the seed stays on top of the hard ground and the birds come and eat it. And so sometimes this is why believers aren't seeing the harvest that they want to see. You know, proud people don't repent. Proud people don't humble themselves before God. But, you know, humble people repent. You know, humility and repentance go together. And so arise and turn. Secondly, arise and shine. There's so much darkness in this world. Let's make a difference. Let's bring some light wherever we go. Let's do our best to shine that light, to shine that love, to bring his presence, to bring his word. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Every one of us need to be soul winners. We must shine. This is a time for the church to show the way to the world, to a world that has lost its way, clearly lost its way. Thirdly, arise and build. You know, Nehemiah said, let's arise and build. You know, we need to build our marriage. We need to build our children. We need to build our churches. We need to build our nations. You know, let's determine to lift people up, not tear them down. And that's why the best thing you can ever do for another person is share the gospel to them. And so arise and turn, arise and shine, arise and build. And lastly today, as I finish, arise and go. This is, you know, absolutely integral to the message of the gospel. You know, so many times we're telling the world to come to church, come to church. And that's great. And it's wonderful to come to church. But Jesus said, go. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And those two verses should be enough to motivate us for the rest of our lives to be soul winners. Because Jesus said, go. The gospel is the answer. If people believe it, they'll go to heaven. If people don't, they'll go to hell. And so we're called to go with God. We're called to go with this message of life, love, and liberty. And as we go without fear. We go with confidence. You know, the Bible says that the children of Israel went out with boldness in the book of Genesis. And you know what? We need to go out with boldness. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you, my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Because the Great Commission hasn't been nullified by the days that we are in. Like Paul, we have a heavenly vision. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. We have a divine mandate to take this gospel to every tribe and tongue and nation. And Revelation 7 verse 9, after these things I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands. And why was every tongue, every nation, every people, every tribe there? Because somebody had gone to them with the gospel. And so the powers of darkness cannot withstand us as we move forward in God's power. You know, Matthew 24, disciples asked Jesus about the signs of the times. He went through many of them, many of the signs that we can witness now in real time and that many believers are exceedingly anxious and worried about looking at it. The prospect of World War III, etc., all the things that are happening. And yet Jesus doesn't finish there. In verse 14, then he says, And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. So Jesus made it clear that it's not until then. And let's be honest, that hasn't happened yet. We haven't, you know, taken the gospel to every person. And so we have a lot of work to do before he comes. We're called to go with the gospel. Is there a degree of danger? Yes, but risk is an unavoidable part of living on this planet. And in case you didn't realize it, none of us makes it out of this alive. I'm glad the early disciples took risks to take this message. Patrick was accused of recklessness, but I'm glad that 1,500 years ago, he was moved by God and not men. You know, because ultimately security is an illusion. Thomas Aquinas, if the highest aim of a captain were to preserve his ship, he would keep it in port forever. And so we must go. Acts 5, go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. And so we've a responsibility before God, a duty of care to take this message to a lost and a dying and a broken world and to share the love of Jesus Christ with them. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No one but Jesus. This is our calling. Church, it's time to arise. In the midst of the darkness and despair, we have a message of hope and healing through Jesus Christ. And so, like Isaiah, we boldly cry out, "Here am I, send me." Because we know of no other message that has the power to change the hearts of men. Because Jesus is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is none other beside him. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so we must keep our eyes on Jesus, and we must be faithful to go. And when we go, to proclaim the message in its fullness. And I think this is so important. And by him, Colossians 1:20, to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether the things on earth, the things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And so, you know, we must keep Christ at the center. We must be faithful to declare the word of the Lord to our generation. Because again, like I said, there is none like him. Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. He is the answer. He is our hope. John Newton, the man that wrote the beautiful hymn Amazing Grace. Although all my memory is fading, I remember two things very clearly. I'm a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. Hallelujah. Christ is a great Savior. Let's pray as we finish today. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, just pray this prayer at me right now. Just repeat with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in my heart that you were born of a virgin. I believe that you lived a perfect life, and that when you died on the cross, you died in my place, bearing my sin and shame. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus Christ, and forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. May the peace and presence of Christ our Savior fill your heart and home. Shalom.